thankful to be here. I just pray that the Lord would give me the way and just, he would use whatever he's given me to be a blessing to you.
They were moving.
You've heard as from a child, right? Read your Bible, pray every day, and you grow, grow, grow. We're not going to sing this part. but we should. We were teasing that this chair up here is for those that talk, like junior church. But so Crystal and I were talking about being rooted in God's word, and I told her, I said, that's such a broad topic that you gave me. Like, where do you want me to go with this? And she said, just go where the Lord leads you. And so I just began to pray, you know, what would you have me to share in, under that umbrella? And really where I landed was, I want to talk about really how we study God's word. We know, if I asked any of you, do you need to be rooted in God's word, you would all say yes. Okay. We know from a child, read your Bible and you grow. But sometimes in the simplicity of read our Bible every day and grow, it's really that simple, but that difficult, that it's a task that we have to choose to do every day, right? Am I the only one sometimes that has a hard time with that? And so I really just kind of wanted to walk you through some ways that you can study your Bible. Now, I look out at a crowd, and I know all of you are in different areas of growth in your life. You might be in here, and you have never studied your Bible, and you're like, where do I begin, right? Where do I start? And there's some of you that have been studying your Bible longer than I've been alive. You're the ones that are super intimidating. No. So what I've tried to do, and you'll notice there is a lot of notes that I gave you. We will not get through all of them. But what I wanted to try to do is give you you know, simpler ways, some easier ways, and then maybe for some of you that have studied your Bible a long time, there'll be a couple in here that you can read over later and you can say, hey, I'm going to try that method. Okay, so it's really some different methods of studying your Bible. We start out with this question, and we're not going to look through the scriptures, but they're on your paper that you can look through later, is the many reasons we should study our Bible. The number one reason is, why should I study my Bible? Well, God tells me to, right? If you ask a child or even sometimes adults, you say, why should you study God's word? It would be God tells me to, he commands me to do it. And that is true. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, right? So he tells us, study my word. So we should study because he commands us. There's so many other blessings, deeper rooted things of why we should study God's word. And so you'll find some here. It's profitable to us. 2 Timothy tells us, or 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, right? For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction. It gives us directions. I don't know about you, but I need that in my life, you know? I need direction. What should I do? You know, where should I go? How should I react? It gives us that direction in our life. Hebrews 4:12, it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart, the end of that verse tells us. It's the recipe, notice the word, it's the only recipe for success. I love this. Joshua 1:8 says, this book of the law shall not be part out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. I did a study on the word success one time, because we all want to be successful, right? You know that's the only place the Bible uses the word success? I thought that was really interesting, that the only place that God connects success with is in the meditation of his word. So why should I study it? It's the only way I'm going to be successful. It brings growth into my life. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow, right, thereby. It gives me stability. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away, right? So we have to go to where we can find stability that doesn't change. It gives us hope in Romans 15:4. It produces great reward. Psalms 19 tells us, it keeps me from sin, right? Thy word have I hid in my heart. We learned that one from a child, that I might not sin against thee. And it's an evidence of our love. You know, and that should motivate us to read our Bible. Not just God tells me to, right? But I want to spend time with him. I love him. If you love me, what? Keep my commandments, right? But I have to know God's commandments if I'm going to keep them. And so it's an evidence that I love God, my time with the Lord, or my lack of time with the Lord. And so there's lots of reasons why we should, and we know in our heads, right? Read God's word. Study God's word every day. But what I want us to really focus on is how do we do that, right? How do we do it? And it's more than just read. And Alicia, say her name right. I keep calling her Alicia. Alicia said last night, you know, if you read sporadically and that's all you get, it's better than nothing, right? But I don't want to live my following God. I don't want to live with just skimming by, right? Better than nothing. I want a thriving relationship with the Lord. And that really only comes by studying His Word. And there's a difference between reading and studying, right? Reading is just, when you define it, I just pronounce the printed words in order. That's what reading is. But when God says, study to show thyself approved, study means to muse, to be so occupied as not to observe passing scenes. Mm-hmm. Have you ever done that? That happened to me last week. I was thinking about this lesson, sitting in the living room with my husband, and he started talking. I didn't know he's talking. And all of a sudden, I hear him say, well, I guess I wasn't talking to you. And I was like, oh, were you talking to me? Right? I was so engrossed in what I was doing that I forgot that he was talking to me. And that's how we should study our Bible. It shouldn't be about how fast can I get done, or I gotta get this done. And ladies, I know in different seasons of our life, you know, when we have two-year-olds, it's really hard to be so engrossed that I forget I have a two-year-old writing on walls. And so I know in different seasons of life, it's hard. Or for me, my daughter's in school now, but when I sit down at the dining room table to have my quiet time with God, it's quiet, but my mind starts to work. Does that happen to you? Oh, I really should switch the laundry over. So that can be getting done while I'm doing this, right? Or, oh, I forgot to text that lady. Oh, I should pray for her. I should tell her I'm praying for her right now, you know? And it's like, but God, studying is, I'm so engrossed in what He's trying to teach me that all of those distractions can be calmed. And that's what I want my study time to be with the Lord. And we need to ask Him to help us with that. And so let's look at, We need to get to work. A workman is a laborer. So studying God's word is work, but it's enjoyable work. So what I want to do is walk through a couple of these ways that we can study. I just want to show you some examples, and I hope that it will help you, and you just go home and try one, okay? Try to commit before you leave the room. I'm just going to try one of these, okay, and see if it works. I know that it's been a blessing to me. So number, our letter A, I guess it is on your paper. How do I study God's Word? The first way is a word or topical study. If you are in a spot that you have been reading God's Word, try this one first, okay?
Do you have any more of the sheets?
Oh, do you have any more sheets? I'm sorry, we didn't get one.
You need two.
Two, okay.
Yes. Thank you, sorry.
Ruth has some over here. I'm sorry, let's start there. Say, okay, I'm just going to try this one. If what I'm doing right now is reading, okay, I don't want to just say just reading because reading is important, okay, but try this one first, a word or a topical study. Pick a word or a topic that you are interested in. Maybe you're listening to your pastor and he uses a term and you're like, oh, that's kind of an interesting word or an interesting concept. Maybe you're in your daily Bible reading and you say, oh, I would like to study that. Or maybe you're a worry wart and you need to study about worry. Okay, something that you're dealing with in your heart. Maybe you're dealing with some bitterness. So maybe you need to forgive or, you know, whatever topic that maybe interests you to study. So the first thing is to pick one, okay? We're going to use as an example in this lesson the word refuge. That's a study that I did. But you look in topical studies. I did one on the hands of God. It was really interesting, the things that God says about His hands. That's a great one. It gave you some examples. The inner man. You could study the I am in scriptures. The I am referring to what man, when speaking of man, and then contrast the I am when it's speaking of God. You say, well, how do I do that? I want to study a word or topic, then how do I do that? It could be intimidating, right? Someone used that word already since we walked in here. She said, oh, this is intimidating. We just have to try it, right? So here's some steps to follow. Number one, define the word or topic. Define it. And ladies, do it personally. Define the word first before you look it up. Okay, so just take time to write it down. This is what I think refuge means, right? For me, it was, you know, a place to hide, a shelter, if it was raining, a place to go, you know, anything that pops into your mind about what you think that it means. And then you define it using a resource, okay? You say, well, what resource do I use? The one that I love, I put it on your paper, it's called the 1828 Noah Webster's Dictionary. And you can get, I have the app on my phone, if you want me to show you afterwards what it looks like so you can look it up. I think it was $2.99 when I bought it. But you can look up any word that you find in scripture, and it will give you the definition, but it also gives you the biblical perspective of that definition. So when I looked up the word refuge, I had my little, you know, fourth grade educated answer of what refuge was, and then I go to a resource to help me understand it better. One of my favorite things that added to the definition that I had in my head was, it's a place that's inaccessible to the enemy. Does that give you some insight? When I'm reading God's word and it says, I'm your refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Oh, he's my place I go to that's inaccessible to the enemy. That just brings more meaning to me, right? So then when I'm reading in scripture and I find that word, I always put that definition in there and it comes alive, right? So I personally define it. I use the resource to define it. And then I love this step. I write down questions that come to my mind about it. Just brainstorm and write down any question that comes to your mind. Here's some of the ones that I wrote for my own personal study. What are some places or people I would consider a refuge? What would cause me to need a spiritual refuge in my life? Who is the shelter or refuge available for? Who in scripture used a refuge, and what must I do to find a refuge? Anything that comes to your mind. Some of your questions you won't even be able to answer. You get to the end and you're like, I didn't find that one. It's okay. But anything that comes to your mind, just write down, what do I want to know about this topic, okay, or study. And then I take time. Now's the step that I open my Bible and I look up the scriptures that I find that word or that topic. So how do I do that? I mean, there's 66 books, right? Okay, I told you it's a little work. There's another app you can get on your phone or your computer, and I wrote it down. It's called the Blue Letter Bible. There's lots of different ones, okay? But you can go to the Blue Letter Bible, and at the top there is the little search circle thing, and you just push on it, and you put refuge in, okay? And when I put refuge in, there's 46 times that you find that word in Scripture. So then I have all the passages that talk about a refuge. And this is where your true study begins. You start looking them up one by one. I like to, depending on, 46 is probably the most you could do in one day, in the sense of just reading them, okay? Not studying them, but just taking time to read them. And when you do that all together, you're going to notice things that are the same. Like when I did refuge, of 46, 20 of them was cities of refuge. Well, that brought up more questions. What is the city of refuge? Right? Who went to the city of refuge? Just write your questions down. 17 times. David was the one that said it. So the third of the time, David's the one that needed the refuge. Well, why did he need one? Well, if you don't know, David spent 8 years of his life running and hiding in caves, waiting on the promise of God for that long. He knows a little bit about needing the refuge, right? And so I found some similarities, some people that used it. I found that it tells us that he's a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in the land of the living, a refuge for those that are troubled, a refuge for those that are afflicted. So do you know what's happening as I'm studying then? I'm answering some of my questions that I had in my mind. And you say, oh my goodness, that would take so long and so much work. You don't do it in one day, ladies. Okay? It might be that you only get through defining, looking up, and brainstorming questions in one day. Maybe you only had 10 minutes that day or 15 minutes. And then you just bite off as much as you can chew in one day. It may take you a month to get through the 46 verses. Because remember, you're not just reading them. What are we doing? We're studying them. We're taking time to find what God has to say to us. And then number four on your paper, search for good and bad examples from God's word. So who are people that ran to the refuge and who are people that didn't? Right? Cities of refuge were a choice. You could go there and find refuge, or you could say, I'm going to figure it out on my own. So as you're studying, you can find some things, good and bad examples. And then, most important out of all of these methods is number five, and that is apply. Okay, you have to apply. How does this topic fit in my life today? And how can I apply what I learned? Sometimes we get, I get through all of my study and I'm excited about it. And then I've spent 3 weeks studying refuge and I get to the end and I take one day to apply. Right? The truth is we should apply every day. What did we learn today? Right? And then take your time to look over all that you've done and apply it to your life, because that's the most important thing, right? It's not just about the knowledge that I've gained so that I can use it to teach others or to just know it. It's how does that communicate to me? And how does that change my own life? Don't skim over your application. Use all the knowledge that you've gained from studying and consider how God wants you to apply. I think I could have been bold on your paper. What does he want you to change or add to your life? And I should have put today, right? Because we walk with God how? Every day, right? Walking is repeated steps. So it's going to help me walk in the Spirit. And so you get to the end, okay? And I just write down, I put this part on my phone because I forgot my paper at home. On my part of the refuge. I just put this in application for myself, that a refuge is a place secure and safe from the enemy's reach, is available to me daily. That's what he says, you're a refuge in the land of the living. Well, I'm in the land of the living, ladies. So that means between sessions, I ran to a refuge between sessions. Why? I just needed God to say, calm yourself, right? It's always accessible. And we have to learn that. And then I put this after my study. I find myself in one of these places often, instead of trying to face them on my own or ignore that they're there, I'm told by my Savior to run to him and find shelter and rest there. And Psalms 91 tells me I must choose to make the Lord my habitation. I have to choose to find the Lord my refuge. So take your time to apply. Don't skip over that or skim over it, okay? So if you are reading your Bible, try this method, okay? First, try a word or a topical study and just go through it. Number one, number two, and you're going to find it comes much easier. And you're going to enjoy musing over what God is teaching you in your life. So we're going to run through the next few. What time is this one over, Ruth? Is it 10:30?
Yes.
Okay. We're just going to skim through the next few, and then I want to spend time on the last one. Okay, the second one is people studies. You find and list all the scripture where that person is mentioned. Same thing, go to your Blue Letter Bible and put in Ruth and find all the places that Ruth is mentioned. I love that one. You know, Ruth is mentioned as just Ruth, just a few places, but she's listed as Ruth the Moabitess, the title connected to her name. Why? Who was speaking when that title was connected to her name? When someone was speaking to her that it wasn't Ruth the Moabitess, well, who was speaking to her then? It brings some insight. Or notice when that person is in the New and the Old Testament. Like Moses. You know, Moses is obviously in the Old Testament, right? But you find just a few things in the New Testament that they use to teach people about Moses. What are those few? Because depending on what you choose, ladies, if you choose Paul, you're going to be studying Paul till 30 years, right? You're going to find his name so many times. So you can't choose someone like that if you're going to go through every verse that Paul has mentioned, okay? But people like Ruth or Rahab or Esther, you choose somebody and you see where in Scripture they are found. It just happened to me 2 weeks ago. I was in prayer meeting. And the lady was giving a challenge, and she said, did you know that Rahab and Ruth were in the lineage of Christ? She was so excited. She said, I did a study on them, and they're in Matthew in the lineage of Christ. And she was just thrilled about that. And you know what she did? She studied Ruth and found where other places in Scripture. And she said, wow, Rahab the harlot was in Jesus' line, right? She learned something from that. So you go through, and number two, you brainstorm questions. I pretty much have that in every one of them. I always like to write down any question that I have. You know, where is that person from? What is their lineage? What's their occupation? What did God do in their life before they knew God? And what did God do in their life after they knew God? How did that change them? Right, so just write down anything that comes to your mind. You know, Esther is such an interesting character. Like, I wrote down when I was studying her, like, what was she thinking when she was put in the, I think they call it a harem, where like the king would, you know, sleep with all the women, decide who he wanted, right? Who was the most beautiful? I mean, what was Esther feeling at that moment, right? She was adopted pretty much by Mordecai, so she had a lot of baggage in her life. So you have to think through some things that might pop into your head and then study to try to find those answers. And then obviously number three, again, is apply it. The time you spend diving into their life will bring you insight into their lives and will in turn cause you to apply those principles into your own life, okay? So, and I gave you some ideas. You know, maybe you're feeling lonely or forgotten or unworthy or unqualified or confused or whatever you're feeling, try to find an example in Scripture and study them. And let God speak to you in that way, speak into your life. A third way is places. This is probably maybe the most intimidating one. But maybe you've tried word and topic and a people, and you need something different. Try studying places. Places can be studied in different ways. They can be studied by themselves or in a part of a different study. And I would love to share with you one of my favorite things the Lord taught me in studying a place, but I don't have time. But if you will, I didn't leave any blanks in those two areas of people and places because I wanted you to be able to go back and read them so that you can follow the steps yourself if you want to try that particular part of the study, okay? D, I don't think I left any blanks in this one either because I'm just going to touch on it, but mirrored passages. Mirrored passages. That means you'll find the passage or the story more than one time. Like you could find it in Matthew and you could find it in Luke, okay? I gave you an example there of Matthew and Mark. It's the example of the Syrophoenician woman. And it's told two times in Scripture. And so when you're studying that, you want to study the details of the story separately. What did Matthew say about it? Then try your hardest to put it away. And then another day study what Mark said about it. You say, why does that matter? Because Matthew will record different details than Mark will. It's kind of like if we saw the same thing happen and you asked me to explain and I asked you to explain, we would explain differently, right? So there's things that we can learn from both writers of things that the Lord wanted us to know. So that's another way that you can study. And can I say this, as I noticed in my notes, remember to record your thoughts on Scripture first before you go to somebody else's opinion on Scripture. Okay. I like to use Matthew Henry's commentary. So smart. But I found myself when I started studying that I was reading the Scripture and then I was going to see what he had to say about it, and there was no Holy Spirit involved. You know, it was like, oh, Matthew said that? Matthew Henry? That must be it. But take time to read it and let the Holy Spirit talk to you, and then you reach out to resources. Okay. Don't allow that resources to become a crutch for your own study, okay? And then E, this is the one I want to spend the last 5 minutes of my time. It has flown by. The last one is something called define and dissect. This method I use every time I sit down to read or to study. And I encourage you to use it every time. It changed the way that I studied God's Word. It was probably about, I'd say 7 years ago, my husband started Reformers Unanimous. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's an addictions program. And in their program, they teach this method to people, addicts, and they're trying to teach them how to study their Bible. And when I learned it and started using it, it changed, honestly, it just changed it so much. And I hope that you will try this. It's called define and dissect, and it's really quite simple. I gave you an example here. So number one is you define the words of the verse. Remember, no word is too small. So you're reading in Scripture, and you come across a verse, and the Holy Spirit, it stands out to you. You take time to define the different words that you find in the verse, even small ones. I printed out an example. Mine is in color, but yours is not, so hopefully you'll be able to follow along. But 2 Corinthians 1:5 says this, "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounded by Christ." So I read that verse and I thought, what does that verse really mean? So I picked apart and defined the words. So you'll see sufferings. Suffering means the bearing of pain or loss, distress, or suffering by want or by wrong. You know, sometimes we suffer because somebody wrongs us. But this brought to me, sometimes I suffer because I have a want or a need. The Lord gave me this verse when I was struggling with infertility in my life. And I read it and I was like, wow, Lord, like that suffering that you gave me, that wasn't suffering that happened to me, right? Or that wasn't suffering somebody did to me. That was suffering that you handpicked for me, right? Yeah, that's different. And then the word of means to proceed or comes from. And look what the verse says. For as the sufferings of comes from Christ, abound, possess in great quantity or great plenty or prevalent. Means I have a lot of it. I'm suffering a lot, right? And your suffering would be different from mine. Define that. You say, of course you know what in means. Well, look it up. It denotes a state of being mixed. So, for this reason, or on these terms, our consolation, our comfort, our refreshment of mind or spirit, a comparative degree of happiness and distress, springing from any circumstance that abates the evil or supports the strength in the mind. I love that because it was like the Lord said to me, your consolation, your comfort is not going to come with me changing the outside circumstances. Consolation has to do with a comfort in your head, right? A comfort inside, a comfort from the attitude that changes, not the circumstances that change. And then abounded, copiously supplied. By means near, close to, or through. Now stick with me. I'm talking fast. Okay? We define the words, and then we dissect the verse by putting them all, and then we rewrite the verse together with the meaning. Okay? Using your own words. Put the meanings you found and rewrite the verse in your own words. Here's how I rewrote the verse in my words. 2 Corinthians 1:5. For as enduring want or pain that does come from Christ may be in great plenty in my life. Because of that suffering, I receive happiness and distress that strengthens my mind with hope, joy, and courage. And this comes copiously supplied by drawing near to Christ. Mm. Yes. Then I take the time to say, what does that mean to me today? I can't tell you how much that meant to me many times in my struggle with infertility, my suffering that God had chosen for me. And we have to ask the Lord, how do I apply that to me? What's he teaching me? Not somebody else. I have that problem sometimes because I teach Sunday school, at Lady Sunday School. I think, oh, how can I apply that to my Sunday school lesson? You know? How can I use that? But God said, wait. How do you use that in your life, right? Before you try to give it to others, how can God speak to you in your life? And then my application, the Lord taught me that as I may suffer with things that he had hand chose for my life, that suffering comes with great gain. There's some comfort that I can only experience by the nearness that results from suffering. There is closeness that comes from being by Christ. Remember that word by, near, when suffering abounds of Christ, because it comes from him, not from you, not from others, but it comes from God. And so you take the time to pick it apart, see what it means, and then you just put it back together. And in Reform is Unanimous, we say, then you stick it in your pocket and you carry it around with you, right? And there's some times in your life that you really have to do that. You put it on your mirror, you put it in your car, you put it in your purse. But use that method in your Bible study, and I promise you, it will change it. It changed it for me. I've been saved a long time. I'm 36, I was saved at 11, you know, and I've been reading my Bible a long time, but it was like, wow, there's so much more to it than just pronouncing the words and sequence of order. So I encourage you, I know it's a lot of different information, but take it home. Please try one. Okay? Just try it. Just amuse me and try it. Okay? And I know the Lord will use it in your